Thank y'all so much for coming to Steadfast Baptist Church. If you please take your seats and turn in your hymnals to song 208. Thank you so much for coming. If you please take your seats and turn in your hymnals to song 208, Grace Greater Than Our Sin. Song number 208, Grace Greater Than Our Sin. They're on the first. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. In the soul with infinite loss, grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse. Sin. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide. Whiter than snow you may be today. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace receive? Of prayer. Thank you, Father, for giving us the opportunity to come and to be gathered together in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that we would just do things that are honoring and glorifying to Him, that you bless this service time, and that you continue to bless all the people that are in this room. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Let's go to our next song, just right here on the page, 209. You don't have to go far. 209, Sunshine in the Soul. 209, Sunshine in the Soul. On the first,
there's sunshine in my soul today, more glorious and bright than glows in any earthly skies, for Jesus is my light. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, with the peaceful, happy mind.
one of the ushers and get maybe one. They'll manufacture one. I don't know. Otherwise, you can just pay attention and listen. On the inside, we have our service and soul winning times, as well as the nursing home. On the right-hand side, we have our stats. I'm going to go ahead and get a count for the last few days. Was there anything to report for Monday? Monday? What about Tuesday? Was there anything? Okay. Two for Tuesday. What about, there was one for our group. What, anything else for Wednesday to report? Under the two, okay. Great. Keep up the great work on soul winning. Also, please be in prayer for all of our expecting ladies. And then we're on Psalms 138, verse 3. Anyone that can quote that to a non-family member will be able to receive a prize. You can either quote that to me or a non-relative usher and get an ice cream bar after the evening service. You've already done it. Like Parker, he's already done it. He's already nailed it. You get an ice cream after the service, all right? And then also, if you have any prayer requests, you can always send those in. I need my phone. There was one Nexus sent in about somebody that got saved. I remember you sent that in. No? Okay. It was a salvation. Okay. But we have all the ones that are here on the list on the back. We have Duncan Urbanic. We'd still be in prayer for his wife, RG, and their visa would be approved. And we'll just keep praying until that one happens, all right? So also, if you just still be in prayer for the Proctor family, and then also Elisha Scott's family as well, his father's health and his mother's health, you'd just be in prayer for them. That's also Brother Michael Scott's family as well. And then also please be in prayer for the Lyle family. Christy Lyle has a little bit of pain. She's on that expected mother's list, so you got to double down on that prayer, all right? So for her. And then also just still be in prayer for Mrs. Mejia there. And if you have other prayer requests, or if I miss one, I'll make sure to put it in there. But if you have any prayer requests, please put them in, send the emails in to the church, and we'll update them and put them in the bulletin. And we'll just say a quick prayer for all those here listed. Thank you, Father, so much for our church family and those that are here listed. As you know their problems and issues better than we do, I pray that you just bless them, that you give them health, that you give them strength, and that you'd encourage them. You just bless all the expected ladies in our church, and that you just continue to bring us more laborers for your harvest. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. And then we have the Mighty Men's Conference coming up. I did take away the sheet. If you have not signed up and you still really want to go, you could email me and maybe grace will work in your favor. I don't know. I can't promise anything, but for those that have already signed up, I'll send out an email pretty soon with some more detail. We got the schedule for everything booked and everything like that, so I'm really looking forward. There's 17 men coming from Pure Words. There's 16 coming from here, so apparently we need some more to show up, you know. And there's going to be at least 3 guys coming from Oklahoma City. So we're going to have a good group. I'm really excited. Also, Pastor Fritz will be joining us for Friday and preaching for us. So I'm really looking forward to it. And I'll send you an email with just itinerary and what to wear and everything like that. So a couple other reminders that I have listed here below. And these are just some housekeeping rules. First one that's listed there is please make sure to not be sharing food, your children's food, with other children, everything like that. We just want to make sure that the church is a very safe environment, and we don't know if kids have allergies, kids could choke, anything like that. We just want to make sure that we're not sharing, and even if you're not sharing on purpose, just leaving it out. And, you know, specifically, we don't want to put, we've decided, or at least I want to make an announcement, I don't think I've said this before, but I don't want to have food in the mother-baby areas at all, just because a lot of crumbs and a lot of just dirtiness and things. And, like, if you put your toddler down, anything he finds on the floor, he's going to put in his mouth, all right? I have kids. I know what they're like. And so if your kids have a snack and they leave it on the floor, every kid's got that snack, all right? So if we're not going to share, then we just need to keep it out of those areas. Also, the mother baby room areas are for mothers and their children only. So no one's allowed, no men are supposed to be in those areas at any time. And also, anybody in that area needs to be there with their mother. Also, just as a general rule, okay, or a general update, It seems like just people are just going and just getting like a cup of water and then just leaving it on the ledge and then going getting another cup of water and leaving one over here. And it's like they're like planting cups of water and like bottles of water just like everywhere. And I mean, you literally after service, I'll notice like 10 water bottles that it looks like somebody took a sip out of. Okay. Now, first of all, the fridge has a sign on there, but the bottles of water in there for soul winners. So like if you didn't go soul winning today, then do not get a water bottle. Okay. It's for the soul winners or the preacher. And obviously it's not just a help yourself to ice cream. Obviously you want to keep these things, you know, in order. We do have water fountains that are in the back with cups. You can get water whenever you want, but also please don't just encourage your children to just help themselves and do whatever. Maybe you need to help your children. You know, obviously this is the house of God. It's not your house, right? So we don't want you to turn it into your house. We want the church to be a safe environment, one that we're on our best behavior. And, you know, I don't even like going over these announcements. I try to be really friendly about it, but it seems like I'll just say things and then people just don't care. And so I'll basically just start calling people out in front of everyone. So if you don't want me to just like say your name in front of everyone and embarrass you, you should at least like try to abide by the rules, you know. And like there's a couple other rules, like no sitting in the back. You know, I know there's chairs back there. We don't have a good storage right now, but if you're sitting in the back, then I'll just start calling you out in the middle of the service. So I've said it multiple times, but people just keep doing it. And this goes for everybody, okay? And just like, you know, just try to behave yourself. Try to pay attention to the rules. You know, I try to go over them nicely. And when people just hear them and then they don't do them, it just feels really disrespectful. And I don't want to be the bad guy, but I will, okay? So, you know, it's called a hard preaching church for a reason. So, you know, if you want to find a different church, you can. You know, the doors are open. They're unlocked, I think. So, but, you know, I just want people to behave themselves and to pay attention to the rules and try to be respectful and keep your children in control and all of these things. We don't want to just create chaos. You know, I don't want to have to police you. I don't want to have to parrot people. That's not fun. That's not exciting. So that's the announcements. All right, let's turn our hymnals to song 211. Whosoever meaneth me. You say, was he talking about me? Yeah, I was talking about you, all right? They're in the first. I am happy today and the sun shines bright. The clouds have been rolled away. For the Savior said, whosoever will may come with him to stay. Whosoever surely meaneth me, surely meaneth me, oh, surely meaneth me. Whosoever surely meaneth me, whosoever meaneth me. All my hopes have been raised, oh, his name be praised. His glory has filled my soul. I've been lifted up and from sin set free. His blood hath made me whole. Whosoever surely meaneth me, surely meaneth me, oh, surely meaneth me. Whosoever surely meaneth me, whosoever meaneth me. Oh, what wonderful love, oh, what grace divine, that Jesus should die for me. I was lost in sin, for the world I pine, but now I am set free. Whosoever surely meaneth me, surely meaneth me, oh, surely meaneth me. Whosoever surely meaneth me, whosoever meaneth me. At this time, turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. And we'll pass the offering plates. Hebrews chapter 11.
Hebrews 11, the Bible reads, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword, were wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for Hebrews chapter 11. We pray now, Lord, that you would fill Pastor Shelley with your spirit and help him to preach his sermon tonight. Also help us to listen and learn, minimize distractions. And Lord, I also pray, Father God, that we walk out of here having learned something new and had a clearer understanding of this chapter. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So we've been going through the book of Hebrews, and this evening's chapter, it's probably going to be a little bit different format than some of the other ones, because the other chapters, I kind of tried to go through them quickly and get the main context. Chapter 11 just has one main context. It's just hammered all the way through. So I really just want to kind of focus on the spirit of chapter number 11 a little bit more than the finer details of every single aspect, because it's such a deep chapter. There's so many different things we can look at. But before we dive in, let's just be reminded of the previous chapter and kind of where we're coming from. Look back at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. Now, I'll give you the conclusion that I gave you last week. The conclusion of Hebrews chapter 10 is kind of a long paragraph I wrote, but it says, "We have been perfected from sin by Jesus and should draw near to God by holding fast our profession of faith. We need to endure affliction and suffering, otherwise God will not be pleased with us, and he will judge and punish us. What drives us to endure is faith." Now, that's a great entrance into this chapter, which is going to then, what? Expand on faith and give us lots of good examples of those who were faithful. It says in verse 36, "For ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." And I explained that about those drawing back are still saved, but God's not pleased with them. God's not pleased with you when you withdraw from faith, when you stop being faithful, when you stop living by faith, when you go to the world, when you're carnal. And the just are the ones who live by faith. And the Bible's going to give us some of the greatest examples of those who are faithful. But as we roll into chapter number 11, it's going to define for us what it means by faith. What is faith? Well, it says in verse 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So according to the Bible, faith is something in this context. It's not always future, but in this context, it's future. It's something that you're looking towards. It's something that you're looking forward to. Something that's going to happen in the future. And it's the substance of that, right? It's something you're hoping for, you're looking towards. You're looking for it to happen in the future. And then it says it's also the evidence of things not seen. Now, what is the word evidence? I looked it up in the dictionary. The word evidence is the available body of facts or information indicating whether a belief or proposition is true or valid. So evidence is basically the reasons why you believe something. Why you believe something's true or false, whatever you believe. It's the information or the facts as to why you believe something. Now, it's saying that faith is what? Something you're looking towards the future, and it happens to be the body of facts or information as to why you believe that, okay? So, it would be a question, what do you believe will happen in the future, okay? Well, whatever you happen to believe in the future, then the question is why? Why do you believe? No matter what that question is, you say, well, I believe I'm going to go to heaven. That's something I believe is going to happen in the future. You say, why? Or what is it that you're putting your faith in? Okay, that's the question that they would be asking. Well, now you're drilling down into what my faith is in. Well, my faith is in what God promised me. My faith is in the words of God. And that's an important aspect to realize. The Bible teaches in Romans chapter 10, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith, according to the Bible, is not something in a vacuum. It's not by itself. There was some kind of a catalyst to draw out the faith. That was the words of God.
You read the words of God, you hear the words of God, and then you decide to believe that. That's what true faith is according to the Bible. And it's going to be the evidence of what it is that you're believing in. Okay. Now, the Bible makes a strong distinction of what real faith is and what would be a blind faith. What is a blind faith? Blind faith is when you make something up and that you're trusting in it. Now, I've met a lot of people like this. Usually they're Mormons or they're Jehovah's False Witness or something. But I sat next to a Mormon on a plane and she told me she was going to heaven. And I said, why? I just feel like it. That's a blind faith. There is nothing that she's... It wasn't that she was promised. Then she later tells me that an angel came down and visited her in the night. And I said, did the angel tell you you're going to go to heaven? No. I was like, did you read it in a book? Nope. I said, you feel like it. Yep. That's called blind faith, okay? Now, obviously, if that angel, so-called, right, which was not an angel of light, okay, it might have been transformed into an angel of light, but it wasn't one. If that had told her how to get to heaven, it's not blind faith, it's just bad faith at that point, okay? It's faith in something that's untrustworthy. It's faith in something that's not real or faith in something that's bad. You can put faith in anything, okay? Blind faith is when you put it in yourself. Blind faith is when you put it in, you don't even know, you're just guessing, you're just making stuff up. That's called imagination, all right? Chapter number 11 is not based on imagination. Some people in Christianity, they use the word faith for imagination. You'll say, God told me to get a car. And you're like, oh, really? What chapter? I felt it. I heard it in my mind. Okay, that's your imagination. That's not real faith. That is not the faith that is according to the Bible. The faith according to the Bible is where the men of God were told by God, either through the scriptures or directly. They had an encounter and they were told something and they decided to put their faith in that. You know, I don't think I'm going to heaven just based on my own whims. I'm basing it on what the scriptures say. I'm basing it on what John 3:16 says. I'm basing it on what the whole Bible says, because the whole Bible makes it clear that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So ultimately, my faith and trust is in this book. Now, go if you would back to Hebrews chapter 6 for a moment. Why is this important? Well, our faith is the evidence of God's promises being true. Okay? Because if God's word does not have any power, if God's word is not anything to be trustworthy, then no one's going to believe it. Okay? Just like politicians giving you promises, nobody believes in that because they're not trustworthy. Okay? So whenever you see a lot of people doing something, that's going to be evidence, potentially, of whatever their faith is being put in. Okay? You see somebody following a particular leader, following a particular person, there's evidence in that person. Okay? Well, God's word, his promises, okay, we give evidence to the power of that by our faith, by us trusting in that. And ultimately what that does is it gives God glory for being trustworthy, okay? Now, ultimately this is it, because if we didn't have faith, what would we have? We'd just have sight. God knows the future. Could he have not just allowed us to see the future? Perhaps. Maybe he could have just written a whole chapter about what your life was like, right? Let's see, this is what you're going to do, this is what you're going to say, this is where you're going to go. That's not really faith anymore, though. No longer is faith there. And obviously, if God just showed everybody every single decision that'll happen forwards and backwards, people would probably alter their lifestyle. They would alter things that they do, okay? But then you ultimately become a robot at that point. When there's an aspect of faith, what that does is it gives God glory because he's telling you what to do. You're deciding to put your faith in him to be faithful, and then when he delivers, he gets honor and glory. When we put all, as a country, okay, if our country theoretically puts all of its faith in the promises of the president, and he doesn't deliver, shame on him. Egg on his face, right? But when Christians put their faith in Jesus Christ, and then he comes through, he gets the honor, he gets the glory, he's shown to be trustworthy. That's why God wants us to have faith, because it shows that we believe he's trustworthy. You say, why are you not going to vote for a president this year? Because I don't trust any of them. If I go and cast a ballot for one of them, isn't that me saying I kind of trust in them? You know, if I get in the car with you and you're driving, that's kind of me putting some confidence and the fact that you can drive well, right? If you're a flat earther, tell me now and I won't get in, okay? I won't get in the car. But ultimately, the decisions we make show our trust. They show where our faith is. And God gives us all kinds of promises. Are you allowing Him to get as much glory as possible? Are you putting your faith in His promises? Are you putting your faith in what He said? Look what it says in Hebrews chapter number 6, verse 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us. According to the Bible, it's impossible for God to lie, and everything God promises is going to happen. It's truthful. So by two immutable things, we should be willing to trust Him in every area of our life, including all the way into the end, all the way to the bitter end. We should be willing to be faithful, and we can have that consolation saying, you know what? God's not going to promise me something and not deliver. God's not going to promise me great rewards in heaven and not deliver, no matter what happens to me in this flesh. And when you read Hebrews chapter number 11, it's not a story of wonderful things happening in the flesh. From a carnal perspective, a lot of times it's a failure. From a carnal perspective, it's a lot of bad things, a lot of negative things, a lot of suffering, a lot of affliction. How can you endure such affliction and such contradiction of sinners and all kinds of evil and struggle and difficulty and drama? Oh man, there's just so much drama. You know, it's like, how can you endure all that? Because God is faithful. Because God promised us when we put our faith in Him, no matter how difficult the road is, you know what? There's a great recompense of reward at the end of that road. And He gets the honor and He gets the glory for having given us those commandments and giving us those promises and seeing it through to the end. Faith is the vision of our religion, and our works is the life of our religion. And faith without works is dead. Hey, you can see, I can see that, you know, if I follow God's commandments there, that's going to work out. But if you don't have the works to match with that faith, it's not going to really work out. If you don't have the vision, then your works aren't going to really work out. You're going to have the wrong works. You need both, okay? But you have to let that faith be your vision for where you're going. And you're going to constantly see in this chapter that they could see from afar off. They could see that heavenly kingdom. They could see God. They had that vision that was coming from their faith, and that motivated them to have the right works all the way unto the end. Because why? You can't see the future. Who can see the future? Get out. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's... You're weird if you can see... I can't see the future. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen to my kids. I don't know what's going to happen to my wife. I don't know what's going to happen 5 minutes from now. You know, all I can think is this year is going to be crazy, all right? I mean, it is crazy, all right? It's insane. I can't see those things afar off. If I could, I'd make a lot of different decisions in my life. If I knew everything that was going to happen in the future, I would have made so many different decisions already, okay? But God gives us a way to guide our lives. It's through His scriptures, through His word, and that faith is our vision of our life. But then we have to have the works to walk in it. And this is what's pleasing in His sight, is when we say, you know what? I can't see. I don't know where I'm going. But you know what? I'm just going to follow the voice of God. I'm just going to do whatever you say. He's like, this is great. This person literally trusts me so much. They have no idea what's going to happen, but they're just going to follow me. That just gives the most honor and the most glory to God, not having known what's going to happen already. Not, oh, I just really knew it. I mean, insider trading, no one gets glory in that. Hey, I already knew that the stock was going to jump up 200 points tomorrow and I put money in it. That's called cheating, okay? There's no honor, glory. But if you're a really wise investor and you just plan, you say, I think this company is going to do well and you invest in them right in the very beginning and they're successful, then it's kind of like, cool, yeah. I mean, that's praiseworthy, that's noteworthy. God doesn't want robots. He wants to test us with faith, okay? Now, that can be difficult, but it illustrates how much you trust God and how much you love God. How much are you going to follow His commandments when you can't see it? Go to James chapter 1 for a moment. And I'm focusing on this first verse because it's the cornerstone of the chapter. I mean, it's what the essence of the chapter is all about. We got to understand what faith is, okay? James chapter 1, look at verse 2. The Bible says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Notice what it says in verse 3, the trying of your faith. Now, it'd be great if when we followed God's promises, it was just like you're winning the lottery and it's just all roses and no weeds even grow in your yard and it never rains and just you never get pulled over and just nothing bad happens, right? But that's not how it works. God says, you know what? I'm going to keep telling you to follow me and it's going to get harder with each step. And there's going to be more difficulties and more problems and more struggles. And there's going to be a constant trying of your faith. But you know, that trying of your faith builds patience. Say, you know what? Last year sucked. But, you know, this year's better. I can endure. If I can endure last year, I can endure this year. Now, for most everybody in this room, you're probably thinking this year's the worst, okay? For me, last year was way worse, right? Believe it or not, this year has been so much easier for me, you wouldn't even believe it, okay? So if I can endure last year, this year's a cakewalk, right? And hopefully 2021 is just like easy, easy peasy, all right? But when you go through something hard, when you go through something difficult and you endure it, it helps you build that experience, that patience. You say, you know what? We can get through this. When you have your first kid, there's a lot of trying of your faith, okay? I mean, a lot of sleepless nights, a lot of throwing up on themselves and using the bathroom on themselves and screaming and crying. And it's just, it feels like an endless cycle of battles. And as soon as you cross one, you know, battle, you get into the next one and the next one and the next one. And eventually, you know, they start getting better and better and better and growing up. And then you have another kid. Well, the second kid, you kind of have been down that road before, okay? But the second kid's more colicky. Now, the second one, you know, the first one was easy. The second one's really hard. So then you go through that. But then you have the third, and then you have the fourth, and then, you know, some people have like 10 kids. I'm not pointing any fingers, you know, or whatever. I guarantee they have a lot more experience and patience than the brand new mother. The brand new mother checks the breath of the baby every second, okay? I mean, they're just like, is it breathing? Is it okay? What's its temperature? Does it have enough food? Is it clothed right? You know, when you have a lot more, it's just like, throw them on the bed. You know, it's just like, whatever, you know. Is it asleep? Sure, whatever, you know. You get that experience. You get that patience. It changes things for you, okay? The same with the Christian life. You say, you know what? I've only been in church 2 years. You got a lot of trials to go through to just learn some patience, okay, some experience. See, I've never been going to church faithfully for a long time. Well, guess what? It's rough. But, you know, if you do it year after year after year after year after decade, eventually you start saying, you know what? I've seen that before. We'll get through it. I've seen those bozos before. I've seen those idiots before. I've heard that heresy before. We've dealt with that problem before. You know, it's not just like, oh man, another problem. Oh, it's just like a brand new parent, okay? The brand new parent sometimes, they just feel like it's an endless cycle. But as you go through those stages and you get that experience and you have that patience, you start to realize that's just life, okay? There's going to be a trying of your faith. 1 Peter chapter number 4, go there for a second. There's going to be obstacles to following God's commandments, and the question is, are you going to be steadfast through the obstacles? It's easy to be steadfast when everything's great. It's easy to be steadfast when it's all wonderful. Hey, I got a promotion. Everything at church is going good. The family's going good. We're healthy. You know, everything's great. I mean, it can be easier to be steadfast when there's no problems. It's when there's problems that you're actually tested, okay? It's not when it's going easy. That's not when you're really tested. That's not when you're really tried. Whenever they're manufacturing any kind of good, they go through stress testing, okay? They don't go through the happy path. I mean, you see cars, they're crashing them into walls, and they're dinging on them, and they're hitting them. And sometimes they even fail the test, okay? I saw one, it was like for Tesla or something, the Elon Musk guy. He was talking about how their car could withstand like a bullet or whatever of a 9 mil or something like that. And to just test it, they're not going to shoot a gun in front of a live audience, but they just have like a rock or something. And the guy throws the rock and just shatters the window. And it's like, didn't really pass on that one. But then they had other tests that they passed with flying colors, okay? So you're talking about stress testing. That's how you actually prove what kind of vehicle it is, okay? You prove how good something is by going through the stress testing. You know, when you drive your car down the highway, it's great. Drive it out in the country, it's a little bit different. You know, driving on the gravel road, you know, driving on the rocks or something. Now, in the Christian life, you will have obstacles if you try to serve God. It will not be easy. It will not just be ice cream and cake and candy canes. It's going to be hard. Look at 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, and as much as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. The Bible teaches that if you serve God, there will be a constant trial, a constant fiery trial to try you and see what you're really like. You think you're a tough Christian? Well, let's go through the fiery trial and see what kind of Christian you are. Let's go through some difficulty. Let's go through some persecution. Let's go through, hey, there's a protester out there. That's not even fire level one, okay? That's like the squirt gun or something. I mean, if you can't pass that test, I mean, I don't know what to tell you, right? Just, I go to Steadfast, you know. It's like you can't tell somebody publicly, you know, that you go to Steadfast or something, you know. Or, I mean, obviously when you got 100 protesters out there and you got the news media, that starts getting a little hotter, doesn't it? Starts trying you a little bit more. When your boss is pressuring you about your religion or your faith or your church, now it starts turning up the heat just a little bit. When they say, hey, if you believe that, if you preach that, if you say that, we're going to fire you. Hey, if you say that, if you preach that, we're going to throw you in jail. Hey, if you say that, if you believe that, we're going to beat you. Hey, if you say that, if you believe that, we're going to put you in prison. We're going to kill you. We're going to kill your family. That's pressure. And you know what? There's people in this world that have that pressure every day. People that live in the Middle East. There's people that live in Muslim countries. And they are under pressure. If they confess Christ openly, they will murder their family before their eyes in 2020. It's just in America that people think we're, you know, oh, pre-trib rapture, we're going to escape tribulation. You go try to tell people in Muslim nations that, all right? They're thinking like, great tribulation, what else is there? They're going to literally kill us all before, you know, in horrible, gruesome ways. It doesn't get any worse than that, okay? And look, persecution's coming to America. Wake up, my friend. If you don't see our nation changing overnight, I mean, it gets wicked by the second. More wicked people, more evil people, they hate the truth. When the Democrats are like 100% lies, the Republicans are like 99.9% lies, okay? And people believe anything from those people. I mean, how many people just believe the worst filth and smut? That's because they love lies. And you know what? They hate this book. They hate the truth. They hate the light. And if we get rid of just, you know, all sense of order in this country, it's going to be bad. Reminds me of, you know, Cain and Abel's times when there's no punishment for death. I mean, then you get to Noah's point and it's just the whole earth was filled with violence. People are just killing in the streets and just murdering and just doing that which is right in their own eyes. I mean, the Bible says in the last days there'll be perilous times. In the latter times, there shall be perilous times. That means dangerous. So there's going to be a fiery trial to try you in your faith. And I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to tell you what life's going to be like. Your faith is going to be tried. Don't think, well, you know, should I go to church on Wednesday night? You know, that's a rough trial. That's not a rough trial. Okay. All right. Go back to Hebrews. Reading Leviticus is not a rough trial. Okay. Memorizing scripture is not a rough trial, you know. We're going to read the Bible. We're going to see what rough trials actually look like according to God's word, okay? And then you see verses like, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You know, that's in the context of like the stuff they go through. Not like they messed up my order at Starbucks. They didn't have my size, you know, t-shirt at Macy's or something. My Amazon delivery didn't make it in 2 days. It was 3 days. I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I mean, you know. You think I'm joking. There's some weird people out there, all right? Verse 2. It says, "For by it the elders obtain a good report." So notice our previous fathers, our spiritual fathers, they obtained a good report. Verse 3. "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." So obviously the faith in this essence is talking a lot about our future, but faith is also in the fact that the world was created by God. You say, where do you get that, Pastor Shelley? The Bible? The instruction manual to life? The Bible, when it says all things were made by Him and without Him was not anything made that was made? Where it says in Colossians 1, "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things are created by Him and for Him, and He's before all things, and by Him all things consist, and He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence." Jesus Christ is the creator of everything. All things. Invisible, visible, all of it. Now, we can't see Him in the flesh, but we can see Him through the Scriptures. We can see Him through our faith. We can see Him through His handiwork. Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Exodus 20, verse 11, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." The Bible tells me why the world exists today. What other religion teaches that? You know, ask the Muslim, because the Quran doesn't explain how the earth comes about. It just says, like, remember in the Bible? It's like, why are you referencing the other book? You know, other religions don't explain the things that we see. The Bible explains every aspect of life, all history, all future. Jesus Christ is the beginning and the end, and by our faith we can understand everything. There's not an aspect of your life that can't be explained by the Bible. Give me another book like that. It doesn't exist. Now, there's two things I think that destroy your faith before we get to this list of all these great people. What's something that would destroy your faith? Ignorance. Ignorance will destroy your faith. Why? Because how do we learn that we got faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If I never hear the Word of God, if I don't have any promises to put my faith in, then I can't have faith. In order to have faith, I actually have to have the promises of God, okay? So if I have almost no promises of God, my faith is going to be small. And even saved people. We look at a lot of people, they get saved, but then they don't know any other scripture. Well, what are they going to be putting their faith in? They need some more scripture. They need more of God's word to decide to put their faith in so they can be pleasing unto God. And if you don't read your Bible, you're limiting your faith. If you don't know the scriptures, if you're ignorant of the truth, if you're ignorant of information, it's going to limit your faith. It's going to destroy your faith. You have to know the Bible in order to have a great faith. That's why I go to church. That's why I read the Bible. Without those things, you can't even have faith. Oh, I don't need to go to church. It's a personal relationship, man. I got faith. Faith in what? Where's your faith at? My faith is in this book. My faith is in God's promises. And because you're ignorant, you can't have a faith. And all the people that we're going to read about, they didn't have an ignorant faith. They knew what God said, and they decided to follow His instructions. They decided to follow His rules. Another way that you can destroy your faith is through heresy. What's heresy? Heresy is when you read something in the Bible and you interpret it wrong, okay? That's going to destroy your faith, because if I put my faith in something that's not even true, that doesn't help me. If I put my faith in a lie, if I put my faith in things that aren't real, you know what? I don't have real faith. I don't have the faith that's being praised in this book. And you know what you never see any of these people doing? They're not doing great works and getting caught up in heresy. They know what God said, okay? Now you say, how do you get caught up in heresy, Pastor Shelley? Well, heresy is a work of the flesh, because you're carnal. In order to be faithful, you have to be filled with the Spirit. You have to walk in the Spirit. Because here's the thing. People say all day long, well, you know, I'll read a verse and you read a verse and I see it one way and you see it the other way. Yeah, that's because you're seeing with carnal eyes and I'm seeing with spiritual eyes. The only way to even know what the Bible says is to be filled with the Spirit, because the Spirit of God will guide you into all truth. So when someone's going into rank heresy, when someone believes bad heresy, you know what that tells me? They're not filled with the Spirit, period. Because the Spirit will not lead you into error. The Spirit will not teach you lies. The Spirit of God is not going to lead you astray. So when you see people going astray, you know what you can just take to the bank? They're not walking in the Spirit, period. And everything that's true is biblical. Everything that is true is godly. So when you see people just diving off a cliff into heresy and to lies and they won't get out, they are not in the Spirit of God right now. They're in the spirit of the flesh. And you know what? You're not going to read about them in Hebrews chapter number 11. Because the people in this book were filled with the Spirit. That doesn't mean they're perfect. Doesn't mean they didn't have sin. Everybody in this list has sin, okay? Abraham, Noah, David. I mean, there's a lot of sinners in here. But you know what they did do? They walked in the Spirit. Now look at verse 4. It says right here, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Now, what I love about this verse is because when you read Genesis, it's not giving you all the information necessarily about everything that happened. It's just giving you what's necessary for that portion of Scripture. But you just see two different sacrifices, and you're kind of like, well, why is one accepted and one's not accepted? Well, this gives you a clear answer as what happened. Abel's sacrifice was by faith. So you know what that tells me? God told Abel what to do. God told Abel how to offer the sacrifice, and then by faith, Abel offered that sacrifice. It wasn't his imagination. He didn't just like, oh, I think sheep today, you know. No, God gave him the instruction. God gave him the commandment or whatever, and he followed that by faith. And by faith, he had a more excellent sacrifice. Cain is the one that made it up. God never told Cain, present your works. You know you don't find in the Bible, work salvation. You know you don't find in the Bible, offer the fruits of the ground, because your works are not good. Your fruits aren't worthy. God's not interested in that. That's heresy. And when you put your faith in heresy, it's not pleasing unto God. It's not accepted with God. I don't care how sincere you are. The most important aspect is the truth, because if you don't have the truth, your faith is in vain. Well, I'm so faithful to the Catholic Church. You're going to split hell wide open. I'm so faithful to the Mormons. I'm so faithful to lies. I'm so faithful to the Democratic Party. Doesn't matter. Oh, but I labored, I toiled, I planted the cucumbers and the melons and the apples and the pears, and I prepared them all nice, and I put them in this great basket, and God just says, rejected. What's important? His commandments. It's following his instructions and having the faith to say, you know what? It doesn't matter what I think. It matters what he thinks. And when you have the Spirit of God come upon you, he's going to guide you into that truth. Look at verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God does not want us to just make stuff up and do it. God gave us all the instructions. God always gave man the instructions. God always made it clear how to serve him, how to worship him, how to do the sacrifice. Whatever God wanted them to do, he always told them what to do, but then it was their choice to have the faith to follow his instruction. And now today in the New Testament, I mean, we have no excuse. We have all of it. I mean, we have every word of God. We know exactly what he wants us to do. The question is, are you going to do what he said, or are you going to just make up things that you think? Well, I just think I'm going to do my way. Just do what I want. I'm going to do what makes sense to me. That's not pleasing unto God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. What's faith? Believing his promises. Believing his instructions. Deciding what he said was right. Well, I don't want to go to church. I want to just make as much money as possible. I don't want to go to a good church. I just want to go to the church that's close to my house. I don't want to go out in the sun and go soul winning, you know. I'll just, you know, listen to music. I'll just do whatever I want. I'll wear the clothes that I want. I'll eat the food that I want. I'll live the life that I want. I'll do the things that I want. You just don't have faith. God already told you everything to do for your whole life, every aspect of it. The question is, where are you going to put your faith today? Oh, I'm going to put it in me. I'm going to put it in what I want. That's just not pleasing unto God. And the people here in this book, none of them lived their lives the way they wanted to. None of them. None of them thought, you know, I just really want to do that. Nope. They're just following what God instructed them to do. Look at verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah did not just think, you know what would be cool? Big boat. You know, that came out of the heart of Ken Ham. When did the Bible say that? Build another ark. And the guy believes in a false gospel anyways. Oh, but he did these great works. You know, Noah didn't just decide, you know what, I think I'm just going to build a big ark. Put a bunch of animals on it. Sounds like fun. No, God told him. God gave him all the instructions. God gave him the wisdom to even do it. Oh, I just want to do what I want. I just want to do what I think is good. That's not faith. I just have the faith that if I just am doing good things, it'll just work out. You know, I'll be like Ray Comfort, and I'll just live like a homeless bum in California on the sidewalks and scream at people. Where does he get that? Where did you see that in the Bible? Oh, I didn't see that in the Bible. He wasn't told by God to do that. He was told by God to go to a church. Yeah. He was told by God to believe the gospel. He was told by God to go from door to door and to preach the gospel, not interviewing reprobates and the weirdest freaks on the planet for clickbait videos on his YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Look, so many, oh, he's so awesome. He's such a great evangelist. Oh, there's so many churches, they look at Ray Comfort. He's like the greatest evangelist. He's a lying fraud.
Yeah.
He's a joke. Yeah, I've never even seen him get one person saved by his gospel, let alone the real gospel. Okay? When are you going to do that? When are you going to repent of your sins? When are you going to repent? When are you going to do that? Do you have a Bible at home? It's like, it doesn't matter what Bible, apparently. You know. Look, these guys in this book, don't let it gloss. We're getting the big picture. We're not really finding on the details. These guys didn't just think, you know what, build a boat today. Verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out in the place which he should after receive for an inheritance, notice this word, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. Did Abraham make this up? No. Notice the word, obeyed. What did he obey? He obeyed God's word. God told him what to do and told him to leave. I don't think he even wanted to do it. He had to leave his whole family. God's like, travel. And he's like, I hate traveling, okay? I hate moving. It sucks. But you know what? He told Abraham to move, and he moved. And then he's like, move again, and then he moved again. And then he's like, move again, and then he moves again. And just like, his life is like moving. And he's like, I'm just a sojourner. I'm just a passing through. But he obeyed. He didn't even know where he was going. So I don't know what's going on. I'm just doing what God said. That's faith. Verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Notice, he wanted to find a city, but not an earthly city, a heavenly city. He was thinking of what? Spiritual things. You know why? Because he was led of the Spirit. He wasn't led of the flesh. He wasn't, you know what? I want to go find the best city for me in the flesh. You know, that was Lot. Is Lot in Hebrews 11? No. You know why? Because he looked at the well-watered plain of Sodom. He wanted to go to San Francisco, where there's all this money and all this land. I mean, the most expensive city to live is San Francisco. You think that's a coincidence? You think it's a coincidence that all the wealth in this country is where all the fags are in America today? You think I'm going to go live in San Francisco where they're like defecating on the streets, where you can just step on a needle and get AIDS instantly, where I wouldn't want to be out there at night. Downtown San Francisco right now, talk about perilous times. I could see me traveling there and somebody like, you don't want to stay out in the streets in the night. I mean, you read these Bible stories. Look, those things actually exist today. Look, have you seen the videos out there? I mean, there's people getting beat mercilessly right now and extremely harmed and hurt and injured. And look, this is just a small sample of what's going on. Don't ask me to go out there. I'm not interested. Sodom can just burn. Look at verse 11. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. So notice Sarah was given a promise and she decided, you know what? God's trustworthy. I've decided that God's a faithful person. He's a trustworthy person. So you know what? I'm going to put my faith in him. And is God faithful? Absolutely. It says in verse 12, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead. So many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Now this isn't crazy verse. It says in verse 12, and him as good as dead. Who's the him? Abraham. It's saying that Abraham and Sarah were like dead. Have you ever met someone that's 99 years old? Sometimes it feels like their foot's like half in the grave, if you know what I mean. Keep your finger, go to Romans. Go to Romans chapter number 4. It's saying like Abraham's like good as dead, yet it's promised unto him that he's going to have more descendants than the stars. It's like, what? So many as the stars of the sky in multitude. It's like a guy that has nobody and he's like 99. But look at Romans chapter 4. Look at verse number 19. Talking about Abraham here. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. Notice this. Now dead. When he's about 100 years old. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He's saying both of them from a physical, carnal perspective, dead. It makes me think of just Ephesians chapter 2 for, you know, how we were dead in trespasses and sins. How he quickened us. He made us alive. And it's another picture of the Gentiles who are basically like dead spiritually. But then they come alive. And you know what? That's where all the Christians are. The multitude of saved believers coming out. You know, you could check out a sermon I preached, you know, kind of similar. It's going down to Isaac and Jacob here in a minute, or Jacob and Esau. But she has Isaac, who then has Jacob and Esau. And that's where we get the lineage of the children of Israel physically. But it's also a picture of the spiritual children of Israel. Those are the Christians afterwards. Go back to Hebrews chapter number 11. So from a carnal perspective, you can't see it. I mean, you're like as good as dead. You're like, I don't know how it's going to work out. And you know, I think there's going to be times in your life where it feels like it's dead. It feels like, I don't know how it's going to work out. But if you put your faith in God, he is faithful. He will get you to the end. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed they were strangers and pilgrims of the earth. So notice their faith was their vision. That's why the Bible says walk by faith and not by sight. But here's the thing. I don't think I'm going to get through this whole chapter, all right? But obviously when it comes to the Christian walk, there's going to be things in the carnal that we can't see that maybe even go against our carnal senses, right? The resurrection. I mean, we've never seen somebody raised from the dead. The parting of the Red Sea, Jonah in the well, you know, all these different miracles that we see in the Bible. Everlasting life. I've never, you know, when I preach the gospel to somebody, I've never seen anything carnal that happened. I didn't see anybody just like, oh, you know, like, oh, you must have got eternal life. You know, they didn't go, oh, you know, oh, he really got the Spirit. There wasn't a carnal manifestation, was it? It was something in their heart, something invisible, something spiritual that happened inside of them, okay? But at the end of the day, there's also the aspect of things that are just not true, okay? So how do we distinguish the difference between, you know, how can you trust in something that you can't see, Pastor Shelley, like the resurrection, okay? And then how do you make the difference between having faith in that and people who have faith in, let's say, I don't know, the flat earth, right? Which is a complete and utter denial of reality and truth, okay? Because at the end of the day, the Christian Bible obviously teaches things that are contrary to the carnal world sometimes, okay? They never deny truth, though, okay? Let me make that clear. But you say, how do I make sure I'm never on that path? You have to walk in the Spirit. The person walking in the Spirit will never believe in the flat earth, ever. The person walking in the Spirit will not go down heresy lane. The person that's carnal will go down heresy lane. When you notice people just digging into heresy and going down heresy, take it to the bank. They're being carnal. So you say, well, if I'm being spiritual, I'm walking in the Spirit, I'm following God's commandments. You say, how do I get filled with the Spirit? Oh, yeah, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Being a humble person, not getting into the flesh, not getting filled with sin, dying to yourself, reading the Bible, praying and asking God to fill you. You know, if you're not reading the Bible, if you're not singing the hymns, if you're not praying, how can you expect to be filled with the Spirit? Now you're filled with whatever else. I'm filled with YouTube and Facebook and, you know, food. There's some pastors that are full of food, okay? They're not full of the Spirit. They're full of Burger King, okay? They're full of Whataburger. Tony Hudson just gets up. What does he preach? He preaches about food. Why? Because that's what he's full of. You know what? You want to get Spirit-filled preaching? You got to find a pastor or a preacher that's filled with the Spirit. Amen. Okay? That's how you get it. And when you notice a guy just constantly preaching spiritual sermon after spiritual sermon, you know what that tells me? That guy's walking in the Spirit. Period. Okay? You are what you eat. Period. Well, I just watched football. I bet I know what you talk about. Hey, if you check the people at your workplace, what they talk about, I bet you can tell what they do. Have you seen this show? Have you done this? Have you seen this? Do you see what this person said? You are what you eat, my friend. And you know what these people ate? God's word. And they were walking in the Spirit. You can't believe in the flat earth if you've never heard about it, okay? People are going to start spitting that out. They're just filled with, you know, the flesh and lies and deception. Look, if you're filled with the Spirit, you won't get led into heresy. It won't happen. The Spirit will guide you into all truth. Say, I don't want to get led in heresy. Well, just get filled with the Spirit. If you want to be carnal, you'll get led in all kinds of deception and weird junk that's out there. Or another way you could destroy your faith is just with the cares of this world. Maybe it's not that you're just, you know, getting into heresy. You could just get into money, get into things that don't really matter. You don't notice these people just getting caught up with the cares of the world. They forsook them. For sake of time, I'm not going to go to them. Let's go to Moses. Look at verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He says, you know what? I'd rather go to Steadfast Baptist Church and suffer affliction than, you know what, live in my, you know, fancy car and fancy house and fancy money and just all the pleasures of this world, the pleasures of sin, go to the bar, go drinking, go on my vacation, go do everything that I want. You know what? I don't remember Abraham saying, I think I'm going to take a vacation to Egypt. I'm going to take a vacation to the Promised Land. No, he's just going by faith. He doesn't even know where he's going. What kind of vacation is that? Hey, where do you want to go? I don't know. Let's just start driving. Some people do that. I don't know. It's crazy. But at the end of the day, we see that he's choosing to suffer affliction with the people of God. Why? Because he's putting his faith in God. He's putting his promises in God. He's saying, you know what? I trust what God said, not what I think, not what I want, not what I'm going to do. Moses had it all. Moses was the son of Pharaoh. Moses was probably even worshipped. I mean, the royalty in these families are literally bowed down to. They're literally worshipped. They have all kinds of servants. He had all kinds of money. He had it made. Perhaps he would have never been on the throne. I don't know. Perhaps he could have been on the throne if he had decided to live a carnal life. But he said, you know what? I'm going to suffer affliction with God's people rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin. And it's only going to be for a moment anyways. Verse 26, esteeming the approach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Now that's crazy. He's saying, you know what? I'd rather be mocked for being a Christian, for being godly, than all the money in the world. Because the treasures of Egypt at this point in time is the wealth of the world. Because the famine that went through the entire world brought in all the money into Egypt. All the money came. That's where they got all the pyramids and they got all the great wealth and all the gold and the silver from history that you understand. It's from that famine that God allowed all the money to be poured into Egypt. Okay? So when he says the treasures of Egypt, he's talking about the top of the top. I mean, this is like America times 10. Okay? He didn't want that. He had respect under the recompense of the reward. He said, you know what? I'd rather have rewards in heaven, not here. Who cares about here? It's not about here. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. How can you see someone who's invisible? Through faith. Through faith. And you know what? When I see other Christians living a godly life and serving God and transforming their life, I can see Jesus in their life. I can see the Spirit of God. I can see the power of God. It's the evidence of things not seen. It's the substance of the things that they're hoping for. You know, what causes a bunch of apostles to go out and live the lives that they did preaching the gospel? It's faith. It's that faith in God's word. How did these people do it? By faith. For sake of time, we can't get them all. It's what it even says in the whole chapter. It's just too many. But look at verse number 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Oh, you believe in Jesus? Oh, you believe the Bible? You know. This wasn't keyboard warriors, all right? This was like literal whippings, literal beatings. Oh, you believe the Bible? Oh, you're a Christian? Oh, you go soul winning? Just beating them. It says, yea, over more of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Were tempted. Were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Look, David's life, when you get before the kingdom, was rough. I mean, he's just going from cave to cave to cave, fleeing for his life, constantly on the run. Everyone hates him. Everyone persecutes him. It gets so bad, he loses everything in his entire life, and the only people that are with him want to kill him. It's like the low point of his life. And you know what? The world was not worthy of these type of people. David and Jephthah and Samson and Abraham and Noah. You say, why? Because they decided, you know what? My life only has value by putting faith in Jesus, faith in God, faith in his promises, faith in his commandments. That's the only thing that matters. I'm not interested in the treasures of Egypt. Look, the book of Hebrews is written to the saved to encourage you to endure. It's teaching you. Jesus endured great affliction, great suffering. He's our example. Consider our high priest, okay? We're supposed to go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith. We got saved, all right? We want to go on unto perfection. We want to endure. We want to not make this, we don't want to be a mockery. Steadfast Baptist Church. It lasted for 6 years. You know. All those people are steadfast, huh? You know. No, we want to make that name live. We don't want to have a name that we live. We want to live, okay? We want to just have faith. We want to have works. We don't have a dead faith. What's a dead faith? We just all show up and go through the motions. Oh, that's cool. Some people went through some hardships, you know. Sucks for them. That must have been rough for them. No, look, if we actually stay faithful, that's going to be stuff that happens to Christians. That's going to happen to people. That could happen to you and me. So we have to prepare our hearts now. It says in verse 39, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So notice, They didn't get any kind of reward, any kind of recompense, anything in this life. It was all in the next one. They said, I'm going bankrupt for heaven. I'm saying, you know what? I'm all in on this life so that I can obtain a better resurrection. Say, you know what? You're torturing me. Keep it coming. Don't even stop, because I just want to obtain a better resurrection. That's their mentality. That was their thought. They said, you know what kind of investments I have? It's not 401k. It's heaven. It's a mansion up in heaven. I want the best possible resurrection. Bring it on, is basically his attitude, right? He's saying, hey, I don't want to go my whole life not receiving persecution. I want to not stop the persecution. I want them to bring it on as hardcore as possible. That's what their attitude was. Why? Because they had faith in God's promises. They had faith in God's word. They knew if they followed God's commandments. And look, they're not going out looking for trouble, all right? They're not going around, you know, preaching at night, okay, downtown San Francisco, okay? Bad idea, all right? Don't go down downtown New York and go try to, you know, I'm going to love these brothers to Christ, you know? Bad idea. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Now you're going back to that first thing that's going to destroy your faith, the ignorance. You didn't know all the Bible yet, okay? So you need to combine truth with walking in the Spirit and saying no to the flesh. This is going to help you endure in your faith and be steadfast. And then let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father, so much for your word. Thank you for this great chapter and example of so many great Christians that went on before us. I pray that we would see the importance of following your commandments, that you're a trustworthy God, that you're a faithful creator, that you have so many wonderful promises and gifts and blessings and rewards that you want to give us, and that all we need to do is increase our faith in you to receive these. I pray that our vision would not be in this world, would not be on this life, but rather would be up in heaven. We'd be focused on the spiritual, that we would die daily to the flesh, that we would be able to walk in the Spirit so that we could be faithful unto the end, and that we would look forward to the recompense that you have for us. Just thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, and what he did for us. In his name we pray, amen. Let's go to our last song for the evening, 223. And the verse, I thirsted in the barren land of sin and shame, and nothing satisfying there I found. But to the blessed cross of Christ one day I came, where springs of living water did abound. Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul they satisfy. Drinking at the springs of living water, oh, wonderful and bountiful supply. How sweet the living water from the hills of God. It makes me glad and happy all the way. Now glory, grace, and blessing mark the path I've trod. I'm shouting hallelujah every day. Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul I satisfy. Drinking at the springs of living water, oh, wonderful and bountiful supply. Oh, sinner, won't you come today to Calvary? A fountain there is flowing deep and wide. The Savior now invites you to the water free, where thirsting spirits can be satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul they satisfy. Drinking at the springs of living water, oh, wonderful and bountiful supply. God bless you, all are dismissed.